Well, sometimes I think it's good to talk about the Holy Spirit. I think it's even better to acknowledge our need this morning. Yeah. And the Lord knows what all He's going to bring out today, but there is one burden I have on my heart, and that as we leave this place today, if we leave this place with nothing more than this statement imprinted on our hearts, just as it's written, if you notice, need is capitalized in every letter. Lord, help us today as we leave this place that that's what we have printed on our heart, that we need the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about the Holy Spirit by the help of the Lord. And it might be a little bit in a way we don't really think of thinking about it sometimes. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But the Lord brought it to me that He might want us just to, as we said, make things a little more simple today. If I was to directly ask any one of you, do you own the Holy Spirit? I believe every one of you would answer me and say, no, I don't own the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit. But I'm concerned in our actions and in the faith we truly possess that the answer that really resides deep within us is that we recognize that we in ourselves do not own the Holy Spirit. In Genesis, it says, first verse, Genesis, first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. You can't get much earlier than this. In the scheme of our world and time, you know, as we know it, you really can't get much ahead of this. This is it. This is the beginning. It says, in the beginning. And then it goes on to tell us there was nothing here. In the beginning, it wasn't like God was picking up pieces of something that already existed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. From His own thoughts, His own power, His own ability, He brought it into existence, whereas it never existed before. We don't own the world and we didn't create it. And while some may say we have some sort of responsibility and it's hard to argue some things, you don't need to go throwing all your litter out in the road. There's certain things we do. You know, really honestly, in the end of things, we're not responsible for the world. The Lord owns it. He's responsible for it. He's in control of it. Well, the Lord owns His Spirit. He's responsible for it, and He is in control of it. It is His Spirit. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, you know, the Spirit of God didn't come into existence. And what we like to think of maybe, you want to say the Evening Light Saints, or you want to say the modern day Church of God, or Any way you want to put it, that turn of the century time where there was a bright light that shone and people came to a knowledge of the truth in a great way. And they reached for it. The Spirit of God didn't come into existence at that time. You know, the Spirit of God didn't come into existence, was it, in the 1600s when Martin Luther posted his theories on, or his whatever he calls them, on the board, on the door. It didn't come into existence in the early church. It didn't come into existence truly even when Christ was born into this world. The Spirit of God has been here from the beginning because it is His Spirit. He owns it. It is who He is. It is His very nature. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but that's the nature of who God is. It's His Spirit. And in the beginning, the Word and the Spirit were with God. And it says the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. Now I want you for just a minute to just consider the world around you. In it exist all of your problems, all of your failures, all of your shortcomings, all of your sins, all of your temptations, all of your struggles. They don't exist outside of this world. Everything that you face and you come into contact with it with exists in this world. Everything that would prevent you from being successful as a Christian exists here in this world. Everything about your flesh, and hear that all the way through the Word, how the flesh lusteth to envy, lusteth against God, pulls you away from the Lord. Everything about your flesh exists within this world. It can't, at this time, when the Lord brought the world into existence, so did all of those things come to be that might pull you away or might face you, your problems, your struggles. It says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Everything that you see, and if you go on and think about the trees, the air, the atmosphere, the grass, the Lord God made them all. Everything in it. And the things, there's nothing in it that's not under His control. Specifically, there's nothing in it that His Spirit wasn't there in the midst of the creation of this world. And the things that came that the devil would try to use within this world to call your heart, to pull you away from Him. There was nothing that was... Now, I know Satan was out there, y'all. But the things that Satan uses, our flesh, the things within us that pull us away, they were created here in this time. And Satan used them to pull us away, but God knows them as well. And His Spirit knows them. And I want to leave this first set of scriptures with two things. That the Lord owns His Spirit. From the beginning of time, He owned His Spirit. And that He has all power and control over anything you might be facing. Because of the fact that this world was created and you were created, there's not something you were created with that God doesn't have power. That He wasn't here before. That He's not able to rectify and bring back into the state that it needs to be in. Because He knows exactly what happened. He knows why it happened and what came to be in you that caused those problems. He was here before they came. Don't you know He's able? He knows how to get back to where they need to be. So it says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we will look at the 11th verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know, do you ever wonder? I know sometimes, let's just say it this way. There's a spirit within us that drives us to do things. There's a kind of consistency of who we are within us, and sometimes it leaves us shaking our heads, much less the people around us, going, okay, well, where did that come from? Why did you say it? Why did you do that? And we're going, I don't really know either sometimes. You know, there's something within us that can't be seen, that you can't really put your finger on. And even as the person whose flesh contains that spirit, it's hard to understand, well, why did I do that thing? Why did I act that way or do that thing? And that's what it's saying. It's saying nobody really understands the spirit. It says save the man who has the spirit within him. But you know, honestly, sometimes we don't even understand that, to be truthful. You know, the Spirit of God, it's His Spirit. He knows it. He knows how to use it. While we're out of touch sometimes with the nature of us and why we do certain things, God's not out of touch with His Spirit. He understands it very clearly. He knows how to use it. And there's one more thing about His Spirit. Now, I want you, everybody here, now we all have a spirit. We have a way we act. The things happen. Now, I want you to take your spirit and just put it on the person next to you. Fix all their problems. Just take who you are and the perfection that you know, sometimes we get the feeling that way. And you take your spirit and you just put it on that problem. That person's got problems. And you fix them. Well, first of all, you couldn't fix them because Your spirit's not perfect. It wasn't here in the beginning when it, so it doesn't have the understanding of how to get back to where things need to be, like the Spirit of God does, like God does. But you don't even have that power. You can put words out. You can try to fix their spirit. And you can try to do all you want to, but you don't have the power to take your spirit and put it out on someone else and change who they are. Your spirit can't get past, as far as its actual being, can't get past your flesh. Your words can, your actions can, and all those things, but your spirit is contained within you. Their spirit's contained within them. None of us can sit here and do that. No matter how good we get, no matter how perfect or whatever we get, it's just not possible. There's two things here. First off, an open recognition of, you know what, I understand enough about my spirit to know it's not perfect. It's not the perfect. It's not really the spirit that needs to be on everyone here. You're not going to be fixed if somehow I get up here and manage to put my spirit onto each one of you somehow. Now, I can say all these words and try to point you somewhere, but even if I was able to put my spirit on you, it wouldn't fix you. And it wouldn't fix your problems because I don't have that ability. Mine wasn't the spirit that was here in the beginning, that was with God when the whole world, with all the problems that are inside of it, was created. My spirit won't do that. Your spirit won't either. For anybody else, and it won't do it for me. I can't look at my problems and see what's going on and say, okay, this, all right, well, I'll manage to fix it somehow within me inside of who I am because it's my spirit, so I should be able to know how to tinker with it a little bit and fix it. Well, I mean, that's all great and good, and we should try to be better, but we've got a problem. Yes. We're without knowledge. We're without understanding, and we're without the power to deliver. Remember those two things, because we're going to point to them in just a minute. We're without knowledge and wisdom. And without the power to actually deliver. There is someone who can do that, but it's not us. There is a God. And His Spirit is able. His Holy Spirit has the ability to do those things because it has the power to create new life. And it understands what it all was meant to be in the beginning. And so it says, so no man knoweth the spirit of God. Excuse me, I lost my place here. Though we might get in touch with ours a little bit, there is no man who understands that spirit. So while it is God's spirit and He's the one who's perfect and able to do things, there's also another point. We don't have the ability then to look away from us and our inabilities and see the Spirit of God and then somehow manage to make that happen in our life, in ourselves. We have no ability to really search the depths of the Spirit of God and truly know it. And know it inside out to the point where we can say, I own it. I understand it all. I own it in myself and who I am. I know. I know how it works. I know the depths of its wisdom. I know what it will do in this situation, in that situation. Because now, even though I didn't have it within myself, now I can look at the Spirit of God and say, well, this is how it would act. This is how it would behave. And so this is how I will fix this situation. And don't misunderstand. We learn as we go. But there's no one here that has the depths of knowledge to understand how the Holy Spirit would work in every situation and what it would do. What did we just say, Brother Marty? We had a lot of input in that meeting, maybe. But it came back to, what is the Lord saying? What is He saying? No one had the power to reach up there and say, this is what He would do. This is how it happens in ourselves. We don't. Just as no man knoweth the Spirit, what does it say? For what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit of him which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Entirely separate from who we are as a person or a body and our ability to command and control. You know, that's where it hits us sometimes. We'll readily admit the Spirit of God is not something that makes you roll down the aisle and say weird things. It's not the Spirit that doesn't make you start laughing uncontrollably. We'll admit that there is a Spirit of God that we need. But we forget sometimes. Oh Lord, how do we say it? We've been blessed with a gift from above. Not given to our control, but given to help us. To guide our lives in every way. We need the Spirit. We don't own it. We don't control it. We need Him. Today, as we sit here and all the things that have happened in our life and the great victories that just I don't even have to. I know a lot of you, the testimonies that come out of your life. But I can just look at you. I can just walk around you. I can just see the Spirit of the Lord shining out of life. Because I know when the Spirit of the Lord's in somebody's life, it's peace. It's gentleness. It's kindness. You start seeing that happening. You start seeing the timing, the word in a due season. If you understand what I mean by that, the fitly, the words, I'm butchering that. Yes, the word fitly spoken. At the right time, in the right way. You see those things, and so you start seeing the Lord is working amongst His people. Lord, help us to always remember that only happens if the Lord has mercy on us and allows us to have His Spirit. Right now, if I'm standing in a state where I've not received the Spirit yet in my life, only way you can get it is through the mercy of the Lord, saying, because it's His. He owns it. He gives it to who He wants it, but He owns it. And the only way you can have anything to do with it is if the Lord has mercy and gives it to you. And the only way that any of us sitting here, no matter how many years of knowledge and understanding and what years we've walked with the Spirit of the Lord, and man, haven't they been wonderful years? If you've walked with the Spirit of the Lord, hadn't it been a great... I could just get off on a whole tangent right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise Him for the years He's given us of wonderful, precious things, of growing in the Lord, of strength, of power, of the ability to resist Satan by the power of His Spirit, to walk around Him when we didn't even know we were walking around Him. The victories we gained in our life, and some for 2 years, some for 3 years, some for 10 years, some for 20, some for 60 years. I can see people here that I admire greatly. And I am so thankful for the Lord that's worked through their life. Amen. And they've shown it for years and years and years. Amen. The only way we wake up tomorrow and that Spirit continues is if the Lord has mercy to extend it to us one more time, to allow us one more day to be His children, to be His vessel that He fills with His Spirit. You know, I tell you, there's a lot of things about the Holy Spirit of God. He's amazing. I don't by any means know everything about Him. That's what I've been saying. But even the little I know, He is amazing. And we could talk so much about Him and the things He's able to do in our lives and the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. But I want to make sure and stay focused on what the Lord has given me. So I want to encourage us that we need the Lord. We need His mercy of His Holy Spirit in our life. And at no point do we need to start thinking that we own it, that we control it, that it's just our just right, that we just somehow deserve it, and God better give it to me tomorrow when I wake up. Because He has to. He's bound to give me His Spirit tomorrow when I wake up. He's not bound in any way. It's His mercy that extends to us daily to give us the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, He's willing. But let us never forget, it's His mercy that gives us that Spirit. For it says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God. Not a spirit that somehow was created in this world, but it was here before time ever began. And it's the Spirit of the Lord. And He has willingly said, my people, I will give my Spirit to them. I want you to realize how much we need it, though. I want to point to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and some things about Him, some prophecies. It says in Isaiah 11, 1 and 3, and you remember how we spoke of wisdom and we spoke of deliverance. Who brought that to us? Jesus opened the door for that to come to us in our lives. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. But let's look at something interesting about Jesus. Isaiah 11. Thank you. It said in 11 and 1, this is a prophecy of Jesus. It said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. This is speaking of Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There's many spirits in this world, but there is only one Spirit of God. There is only one Spirit. We're fixing to read some things about it. You won't find these things in any other spirit. This is the only way you can find them and have them. It's through the Holy Spirit of God. All right? It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of counsel and might. We can go all around the room. And if nobody speaks as the Spirit guides them, we're going to be messed up. No matter how much knowledge we've got, if no one speaks as the Spirit of the Lord directs them, we're in left field. We're off base. We're out of whack. We're however you want to say it. No, we're not where we need to be. When someone besides the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. Because He is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of understanding. He is the Spirit of counsel, might. He is the Spirit of knowledge and Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He puts all those things right where they need to be. And He is willing to give it to us. But it does not exist independently in any one of us. Lord, help us. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And that Spirit, it says in the third verse, shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall judge. He shall not judge after the sight of his own eyes. This is talking about Jesus. How do we think we can do anything else besides what he did? If anybody could have made it possibly without the Spirit of God and his own wisdom and his own understanding, we think, well, maybe Jesus could. But if he couldn't, then it's for sure that there is not a person who's ever existed in this entire universe that could do it. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We will not make it. We will, you know, we say we will fall apart. Well, it's not really falling apart. It's falling away. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God guiding his life, it's not a division of the church of God. It's a soul that's going to fall away from the Lord. My soul, your soul, anyone's soul. The 85-year-old who served God for 80 years of his life still has to follow the Spirit. And the Spirit is still what guides him and gives him understanding or her understanding in their life to know what to do, to how to act, to give them the knowledge. Remember, that's one part. All right, Jesus himself, this is him we're talking about, and it says the Spirit of God came upon him, and it's what made him able to do these things. Shall make him quick of understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his own eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Lord, help us. I just want, you know, just a word of caution, kind of a little bit of aside. Be very careful when you judge. Be very careful. It says in one place, judge not. Well, be careful. Don't lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. All right, let's look in. So knowledge, wisdom from the Spirit on Jesus Himself is what enabled Him to have that ability. All right, let's look here in Isaiah 61. In the first verse. Now we're going to talk about deliverance. It says 61 in the first verse. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. This is what, when the world looks on us and says, there's something different. This is it. The garment, the oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They're going, where do I get that kind of thing? Where does that happen? All I've got are the ashes. How are you getting this all of... I'm sorry that I can't say this without looking at it. All I have is the mourning. Where's this joy coming from in your life? All I have is heaviness. Where's this praise coming from in your life? All I have are ashes. Where's this beauty coming from in your life? Yes. That they may be called. That they may be called trees of righteousness. Yes. The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Where is this coming from? The Holy Spirit of God. Yes. And you can't fake it. You try all you want to, it will show up. Without the Holy Spirit of God, all you have is your spirit. And it is insufficient to present, to create a tree of righteousness. To create the oil of joy for mourning. To create beauty for ashes. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jesus Himself said, the way that I'm going to do this is because the Spirit of the Lord, or this prophecy of Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. You want to have that in your life? You want to have that power that can help you in your when you're going through hard times, that can give you what you need, that's beyond your ability to understand, that helps you, that you know human understanding tries all they can, human's ability tries all they can, but they can't give you the beauty that you need in your life. They can't give you the oil of joy, and you're longing for that. I want that. I want to be able to, in this world and the trouble that I'm in the middle of, I long for the ability that somehow my life, my soul could rise above this. I want to have that joy in my life. I want to be able to have that praise in my life. You can have it. But it only comes through the Spirit of God in your life. And understand what I'm saying. Remember how He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till we be filled with power from on high? You can get saved, and there's joy with that. But to walk on out into this world and face this world and be a tree of righteousness and have the joy instead of mourning, the beauty. And I'm going over them again and again, but I just pray to sink in somehow that we can have that. That's a miracle. That's amazing that that people can walk that way in the midst of this world, that they're not just bound, because without it, we're just a part of this world and everything that was created in it, and we can't rise above it. But through the Spirit of God, that can happen in our life. Well, let's look here in Joel 2 and 28. Now this, we read a couple of prophecies about Jesus and how the Spirit of God would enable Him to do these things. Now here's a prophecy about us. Thank God. I praise God for Jesus, but I'm glad that He spoke a little bit about me. And He spoke a little bit about you in His scriptures. And He said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, thank the Lord. There's this Savior, this Jesus who came, and He had the Spirit of God, and what a life He lived, and what a man He was. But I'm still, thank God He can forgive me, but I'm still just my spirit in this flesh to battle. What a life is that? Just go back to those scriptures in Isaiah 61. The difference that He can make in our life through His Holy Spirit and the way He can enable us and give us victories. And He says, and it come to pass afterward that I will pour that Spirit, the same one that made Jesus this amazing man, that helped Him in so many ways to do countless things and have wisdom and also have the ability to deliver. Now, no one's here Jesus. We're talking about now in our own lives, what the Spirit can do for us now. Now, it says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon servants, upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Thank the Lord. You know, in Luke 11, it says, well, if you don't mind, let's look at Luke 12 first. I'm wanting to get to 11, but let's go ahead and read this in 12. I will go ahead and mention before we read this that one of the things we're going to read in Luke 11 is that It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the Spirit. He is not holding back today. You are not failing or whatever you're going through, failing of the Spirit, because God is going, well, you hadn't quite crossed that X yet. Or you, if you understand what I'm saying, He's not, well, let me be careful. It's not because He's not willing. Let me just say it that way. He's not sitting up there going, well, I'm wondering about it today. Should I get up and give Him? It's His desire to give you His Holy Spirit. Here's the issue that comes up. All right? It says, take no thought, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? We need the Holy Spirit. If ye then not be able to do that thing which is the very least, and I put very in there, but I feel okay about that, which is the very least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, one place he said, Job, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I made the big Leviathan, the whale that's in the sea? Where were you? Let me, Job, you're sitting here and you start to tell me what I should be doing in your life. Where were you when I created this place that you live in, that you exist in? Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I know that a lot of times when we look at these verses, we use them to talk about money, possessions, and it means that. But, you know, it's so much more than that. Why are you focusing on all these other things that are going on around you? When you can't even really fix them, all you can really do is, you've got an avenue here to fix yourself. You don't have a way to really fix the things around you. Through the help of the Lord, you have a way to fix yourself. Why are you taking thought to all these things of this world that you're not going to make any of them last forever? The only thing that's going to leave here is your soul. So why are you spending all your time and your effort and your focus on trying to right wrongs? Or trying to fix this political situation or this even church situation? Why are you allowing yourself to be distracted? You began in the Spirit. Who confused you? Oh, you foolish Galatians. Who bewitched you, I think is the word he used there, isn't it? Bewitched you. That you started in the Spirit, you're so soon removed from that. Now he's talking about specifically, but that anything. How are we allowing ourselves, if we've begun in the Spirit, to be foolish and let ourselves be bewitched and let the devil turn our focus away from where it needs to be? On the Lord and on His Holy Spirit in our life, and making sure that that connection is where it ought to be. And allowing the Spirit to guide us and direct us what we should do and say in every way. And it says, how much more shall He clothe you, O ye of little faith? Don't you know if you'll turn, you'll focus on the Lord and let Him guide you. And who knows, He may guide you right back into situations that He just told you to stop being so focused on. To take your attention off of. He may guide you right back into that situation to fix it. For Him to fix it through you. And for Him to provide something that someone needs. But you're not going to do it focusing it on it yourself. You need to focus on the Lord. It's just like when He told us here, even let's take it back to worldly possessions. He didn't tell us this so He could just leave us out there destitute. Without what we need in this life. No, the Lord has full intentions of taking care of those things. The way He sees they can be taken care of and what's best and how He can use us Sometimes we don't think He can use us. Sometimes we think He can use us way more than He's ever intended to. We're probably off one way or another, the truth is. But if you turn back and you say, Lord, I need Your Holy Spirit. I need Him in my life. And I need to listen to Him. I need to follow Him. Teach me how. Teach me how to hear His voice speaking to me. Well, before you know it, I believe this with all my heart, you can probably find yourself right back in that situation with exactly what you need. And maybe not even knowing it. But you've got to turn your attention where it's supposed to be. And you've got to look to the Lord and His Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you in whatever you're doing. And if He doesn't lead you back to that, you've got to be willing to lay it down and say, where is it that You're wanting me to go, Lord? What is it that You want me to do? Oh, how much more will He clothe you? How much more will He'll take care of the situation as good as it can be taken care of if we're simply willing to listen and follow Him? And many, many problems get fixed as soon as we stop trying to fix them. Truth is, as soon as we stop trying to fix them, that's one of the reasons I believe God says, be still. A lot of times we're trying, anyways, let the Lord guide you. I won't tell you that's what you're supposed to do because it's not my place. The Lord will, though. He will do that. He really does exist. And He really means what He says in this Word. And He will do what needs to be done if you will just turn your attention to Him, to His Holy Spirit guiding your life, and allow Him to lead you and direct you. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be taken care of. Stop worrying. Trust. Trust the Lord. I didn't mean to point, Brother Marty, but that's just coming back to me. Trust the Lord. Trust Him. Oh, Lord, help us. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is what He wants. He wants this place for us. He wants this place here and in our daily walk. He wants this kind of life for us. A life of peace and joy, of happiness, of joy for mourning, of the spirit of praise for heaviness, beauty for ashes, trees of righteousness. It's going to happen. It'll happen. Turn your attention on Him and realize through His Holy Spirit it's the only way it can. If you don't have His Holy Spirit in your life, you need to seek Him for it. You need to ask Him. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Knowing. Not knowing exactly how it's going to come. You know, sometimes people laid hands on people and they got the Spirit of the Lord, and sometimes they didn't. Sometimes people got the Spirit of the Lord after baptism. Sometimes they got it before water baptism. You read it out. The thing that matters is a soul that loves the Lord, that has turned his life away from his sin and wants the Lord in his life. And the other part that matters is already taken care of, because here's what God says in the 11th chapter. He says, which of you, 11 and 5 of Luke. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he, the friend, from within, shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. Now, this confused me a lot as a child, and even now, sometimes when I read this, it's a little confusing. He's saying, go away. Leave me alone. I'm in bed. I'm not getting up to give you anything. Forget it. You go back home. You should have had bread. But then it says, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because he keeps knocking, and he finally says, I'm not going to get any sleep unless I get up and give this person some bread. You know, the Lord is a good God. He's loving and He wants to give you His Spirit. Now, you may have to knock on the door for a little while sometimes, and God knows why He does that. But ask. He will give it to you. And sometimes you'll know it, and sometimes, don't let any testimony that somebody says about the Holy Spirit make you feel like that's how it's going to happen in your life. In my life, it happened in a way that I quite honestly have never really heard. I think I've heard one or two people testify that way. The point is, if you want it, and you realize that's the only way I can make it in this life, that is what will seal me unto the day of redemption. Yeah. That is the teacher. That is the instructor. That is the one who has power to help me. How can you really know how he comes until you give him a chance to teach you some in your life anyways? So don't worry if you have to knock for a while. Don't put your life... Keep knocking.
Amen.
Just keep asking. And don't ask wavering. Don't be afraid. Somehow God's not giving to you. He may have already given you the Holy Spirit. I want to be careful with that statement. But sometimes he gives it to us and we don't even realize it because we're expecting some certain way. And yet God has now filled us with his power. And we begin to understand scriptures in a way we didn't understand before. He begins to link things together. He begins to give us understanding. He begins to deliver us from things in our life that we face and give us victories. And give us land, like the land of Canaan. Our feet start stepping on some land and we're like, well, we've got some things here. Well, you're not getting them in your own strength. The Lord's given them to you through his Holy Spirit. So it says, and I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Okay, whatever. It's all I've got. Take it. No, I just need. No, take it all. Don't come back. That's what it's saying. The Lord is so much more. And it says, if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? I wouldn't even joke like that one. I wouldn't hand my child something that would hurt them in any way. And you know, the Lord's not joking about this. He's ready and he wants to. And it says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, thank the Lord. You know, I settled so many questions for myself. I was like, okay, Lord. Well, I love you and I want your Holy Spirit in my life. Just keep on working. Yes. Keep on God. Keep on lifting me up. Lord, help me. I want to just be a willing vessel. You know, that's really what, if you're, you know, I've said one time, if you're sorry for your sins, well, God will forgive you. If you want something more, if you want something better than what you are in your life,
yes,
he's willing to give you his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Ask him. And that's don't true. Leave here without it. You cannot face this world and be a tree of righteousness. You will not do it. That's why in some ways people who say, well, you can't live above sin. Well, you're absolutely right. You can't. But God has said, I am willing to give you my spirit that's inside of me. You know that one that says it's all messed up? Well, mine's not. God's saying that, not me. I'm willing to give it to you. It's not messed up. It'll help you. It'll conquer things in your life. And don't be confused because the reason it's coming into your life is to conquer things. That means you've got things that are messed up and that God's going to need to deal with. And work on. And that doesn't mean you've fallen away when you see those things in your life. That means that God's got something that he wants to change about who you are. He wants to take your spirit that was in you. That's what the Bible tells us needs to die. It's saying you've got to die here. You've got to let go of this. Let this die so that my spirit can live in this place. Can take over ownership of this place. If you don't let him come in. Remember the story of the man in the Bible, and I'm telling you, that's by the Spirit of God. We can just go on for a long time. I'm about done. Sorry. But the man in the Bible who swept his house and didn't put anything in it. Cleaned up. That's salvation. But he didn't put anything in there to possess the house, to own it, to live in that place. And because he did not do that, the spirit that was in him came back. And not only that, he came back and he brought seven spirits with him. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. We need the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us today. Thank the Lord. You pray for me.